Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Praise the Lord. Now, in the last few weeks, I've done a series of conferences and teaching days, different parts of the country and in Italy and Germany as well, all on the theme I'm going to talk about this morning. Now, obviously, at a conference, you have several sessions. Those teaching days, between 3 and 4 hours of teaching. And during the course of the conferences in Italy, I wrote a book. In about 7 days, I wrote a book as well on this theme. So that will come out in due course. But I've got to try to condense this into about half an hour this morning. But God is a worker of miracles. So the important thing is that you get the essence of this revelation afresh. And you'll be able to read the book when it comes out. But there'll be other recordings that you'll be able to get hold of, which will fill the whole thing out for you. I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 2. Paul's testimony that he sums up in one verse. Verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, these weeks of ministry have been very, very powerful weeks. A lot of lives deeply impacted. A lot of people have got healed. Some wonderful miracles have been taking place. Because when you get the revelation of truth, it releases the power of God into your life. Now, we know all about Paul, how he was convinced that he was serving God faithfully by persecuting the church. He was completely misguided. But after meeting with the Lord on the road to Damascus, and then having been filled with the Spirit, and then after a short while taken aside by the Lord for 3 years, while he taught him the gospel, Paul came to understand that although at the time of the crucifixion he was an enemy of Christ, nevertheless he'd been involved personally in that crucifixion. Paul came to understand that Jesus didn't go to the cross simply to die for his sins, but he took him, the sinner, Saul, to the cross. He took this misguided religious zealot, this Pharisee, to the cross. He regarded himself as the chief of sinners because he persecuted the church, and yet he was a deeply religious man. Just shows you that you can be deeply religious and still be a sinner. Hello. He came to understand, therefore, that the man he was put to death when Jesus died. So he gives this testimony, I no longer live. Now, if you're going to live a victorious Christian life, you have to identify with what Paul is saying. To identify with the fact that when Jesus died, you died. It's got nothing to do with you living 2,000 years later, because what Jesus was doing when he offered his life in sacrifice for us was really an eternal event in history. Something that would never need to be repeated, something that was totally complete and perfect in itself, something that could benefit every man of every generation who put their faith in him. So it's just as true for you, for me, as it was for Saul of Tarsus, that when Jesus died, we died. Now, of course, we've got to understand what that means, because you are sitting here with your heart pumping and still breathing. So you as a person are alive, but the person that you were is not alive. Now, if only every Christian would believe this, people wouldn't go back into their past life. They wouldn't want counseling and all the rest that so often they are longing for, because they would realize that you cannot counsel the dead. Why try to raise the dead when Jesus knew that the only thing to do with that old life was to put it to death? So if only Christians believed the truth, then they would live in the revelation of what Jesus has done. So like Paul, we can say, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But now, Christ lives in me. Now, I wrote a book 25 years ago that became a bestseller all over the world about being in Christ. But having Christ in us is the complementary truth. That's why I've just written a book about this. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul says that is the mystery, it's the secret, it's the heart of the Christian life. Christ in you. So we're in Christ and we are made one with him, and I think most of us understand that revelation. But this morning we need to get hold of what it really means to say Christ is in me. Now, Paul is not saying the historic Jesus that walked on this earth is in you, but the risen, ascended, glorified, triumphant Christ is living in you. The one who went through the cross, was raised from the dead, and now is reigning in triumph. The Spirit of the risen, glorified Christ is in you. He's not saying that just an anointing or a blessing from God is in you. He is saying Christ himself is in you, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, of the risen Christ. So Christ is in you. Now, if you believe Christ is in you, you don't have to go to Florida or anywhere else to meet with him. If you believe Christ is in you, then you believe you have everything within you that you could ever need, no matter what situation you're confronted with. So then Paul completes this verse by saying, the life I now live in the body, because obviously he does have a life in the body just as you do, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the only way in which to live this life of Christ in you is by faith. Faith enables us to live in this supernatural dimension of Christ in you. Now, if you turn to the first letter of Paul to Corinthians, in chapter 1, I'm going to have to be very quick about this. I usually like to take about an hour to explain this. But verse 30, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Now, Christ is in you. Not some blessing, but Christ himself. The Christ who is reigning in glory and that we have been worshiping this morning, that Christ is in you. That same Christ in all his fullness. This is why Paul says we have come to the fullness of his life. Jesus said, I have come that men may have life and have it in all its fullness. That's his life, the life of the risen, glorified Christ. That life is in you as you sit on that chair this morning. You can't feel that life. It's a question of faith, of whether you trust in that life as to how much of that life will actually impact you day by day and will be manifested in your life. Now, Paul says, this Christ is our righteousness. What is righteousness? Well, righteousness is being in right standing before God. It's walking in right ways with God. But it means also our total acceptance because of all that God has done for us. Now, he doesn't say that you have been made righteous. In fact, Jesus says about your natural life that in your natural life there is nothing good. And he says, apart from him, you can do nothing. God knew that he could not make you a righteous person. All the way through the Old Testament, we have the testimony of how the people of Israel were trying to live a righteous life and constantly failing. If you try to live a righteous life, I guarantee your failure, because it's impossible. And God knew with the weakness of our humanity, there is not one of us that could live a perfectly righteous life. And the good news of the gospel is this, that Christ himself becomes our righteousness. The one who lives in you is your righteousness. You yourself are not righteous. But he is your righteousness. Now, if you believe that he is your righteousness, why try to make yourself righteous? Why try to think that it's going to be down to your effort to live in a right and good way? Christ is your righteousness, and nothing can improve on that righteousness. It is the only perfect righteousness that exists. And that righteousness is in you because Christ is in you. That's worth an hallelujah. Now, does this mean that we don't have to worry about living a righteous life? No. We'll come to that in a minute. But first we need to believe, I have the righteousness of Christ. That is what the word declares. I can't feel it, but that righteousness is in me. The perfect righteousness from Christ. This is the righteousness of which Paul speaks when he's writing to the Romans, saying that it's a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. All we have to do is to believe in Jesus, and his righteousness is imputed to us in the sense that he is now our righteousness. And then Paul says, he is our holiness. Now, we know that the purpose of God is that we should be holy even as he is holy. The scripture says, be holy in all you do. But I guarantee, as with righteousness, so with holiness, if you have tried to live a holy life, you have failed. In fact, it is so far beyond you that you have perhaps even not tried to do it. You might have thought, well, holiness is way beyond me. That's for the sort of the spiritual elite. But no, for as soon as a person becomes a Christian and God comes to live in them by the Holy Spirit, that person is made holy because the holiness of Christ is in them. He is your holiness. Now, you see, the scripture also says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Only holy people can go to heaven. So if it was going to be dependent upon your behavior, upon your performance, you would have no hope of going to heaven. But because he is your holiness, and his holiness is perfect, and that holiness is in you, God actually judges or will judge you on that day of judgment according to his righteousness and his holiness. Shout hallelujah. Now, if we look at these truths, he's also our redemption, which means we belong totally to him. We are not our own. We were bought with a price and so on. There's no time to go into detail. But you see, if we bring these two scriptures together, what have we got? I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Now, if I don't accept that phrase, the rest becomes nonsense. Because, you see, Christ lives in me. His holiness, his righteousness, his life, his power, his glory, his health, his salvation, everything that he is in me because Christ is in me. But it means that I and you have a decision to make. Whether you are going to do it or whether Christ in you is going to do it. What is it? It is anything. I can remember as a very young pastor or a young Christian really, when I was learning all this stuff. God put it before me very simply like this. Colin, either you are going to do it or I am going to do it, but both of us can't do it. Now, we laugh, but you see, that's the very thing that we usually pray for. We say, Lord, help me. And you've probably asked the Lord often to help you and wondered why he didn't help you more. And it's because it's not his will to help you. Jesus did not come and live in you to help you, but to replace you. So it's no longer you, but he who lives out his life in you. If you pray, Lord, help me, you're still the one who's doing it. And if you're still the one who's doing it, then whatever the action is, it's obviously going to be imperfect. It might be a bit less imperfect because you've called upon God's help, but it's still not going to be the same as Christ working through you in the way that he desires. So I've come up with this simple little formula which I live by and which I've been teaching others. I can't, because Jesus says, I can't do anything apart from him. So I have to believe that. I have to believe that in my self-life, there's nothing good. I can't do anything for God. I can't do anything that will please God in and of myself. Hello? Otherwise, I don't believe the scriptures. Otherwise, I don't believe Jesus. I call him a liar if I don't believe that. And Jesus is not a liar. Jesus is the truth. So I accept I can't do anything that is of any eternal value or consequence of myself. I might like to think I'm such a good guy and such an anointed person that I could do something, but I know so well that I cannot do anything. I can't even preach. I really cannot preach. But Christ in me can. So, I can't, but he can. Because I can do all things through him. If I trust him, then there is no limit to what I can do. So, Jesus said, all things are possible for he who believes. Why? Because Christ is in him. And if you trust, if you believe, you trust him, and therefore you trust his life to come through in no matter what the situation is that is confronting you. Do we have any believers in the room? Okay. So, I can't, but he can. But if I do, he won't. He will not share the throne with me. You will share his throne when you go to heaven. But only if he is exclusively on the throne of your life while you're here on earth. He will not move over and make room for you. He says, no, I am the Lord. I am supreme. I am the King of Kings. I'm going to reign in your life. Therefore, you get off the throne and submit yourself to me. Are you there? Right, so I can't, but he can. If I do, he won't. But if I don't, he will. Amen? Now, this means that potentially nothing really is impossible for us. You see, there's lots of situations where in and of yourself, you feel you don't have the capacity to love the people that need to be loved. A few weeks ago when Sharon Frood was preaching on the Sunday morning, I think we're all sort of, you know, wow when we hear what she's doing in Africa. But she said, most significant thing towards the end of her message. You might have missed it. You might have thought, you know, the most significant thing is all the stuff that she's doing with the widows and the orphans. But no, the most significant thing she said is, this really isn't me. That what she has been faced with continuously is her own personal weakness and incapacity to love, to give, to serve, or to do anything. If she had her way, she would be out of Africa and back here in Horsham with us. That's what she, Sharon Frood, would love to have done 100 times in these last few years. But you see, she knows it's not her, but Christ in her. And so she has kept deferring to the one who lives in her. So the Lord has not only enabled her, but he's kept her persevering in his purposes. And because it's Christ in her, that is why the ministry has been so effective. If Sharon Frood had gone out with an agenda of doing good for the orphans and widows, it would never have worked. Especially with all the opposition that she's had. She wouldn't have had the ability to get through all of that. But I'm just using her as an illustration. But the same needs to be true of all of us. You don't have to go to Africa to prove it. Christ lives in you now. And you have to decide, right, am I living this Christian life for God, which is hopeless and useless, or am I letting Christ live his life in me and express his life through me? I can't live the Christian life. He is the only one on planet Earth who can. And he has come to live in me so that he can express his love, his life, his power, his joy, his health, his salvation, his goodness, his kindness, and everything that he is through my life. I can't say I can't if I trust him. Because although I can't in myself, I can do all things through him. Or rather, he will do all things through me. Are we getting this? So I have his righteousness. So in every situation, if I allow his righteousness to come forth, I will act in righteousness. If I trust him, I will act in holiness. You see, when Paul preached all this stuff, he was accused by some people of preaching in a very dangerous way. So you preach this kind of thing and you're going to give people the impression that sin doesn't matter. Now, Paul knocks that on the head. Shall we sin the more that grace may the more abound? Never! What a ridiculous suggestion. He really goes for those who misinterpret his teaching in that way. Because you see, if I no longer live, if I don't trust in myself, but trust in the Christ in me, then his righteousness is going to come forth, so there's no room for my unrighteousness. His holiness is going to come through, so there's no room for my unholiness. What is going to come through is his righteousness and his holiness and his power and his life. Now, people who see what I get up to will think it's me. Like you probably think I can preach. But I know I can't preach. I tried to do it in the early years of my ministry, and it was disastrous. People used to say, we think you're trying to say something, Colin, but we're not quite sure what it is. Well, that was me preaching, but now you have no doubt as to what I mean when I preach, because it's Christ in me. That's why you never see me with a text. Because I never preach. I wouldn't presume to try to preach. I'm just, again, using that as an example. But you see, for all of us, if Christ is in us, fancy trusting in yourself. How ridiculous. How plainly stupid that would be to trust in yourself when you have the Son of God living in you. I mean, it's a ridiculous thing to do, isn't it? Now, of course, when you're up against it and things are really, really difficult, then you know that you need some help. So that's when you probably turn to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. But that's not the same as, Lord, replace me. Hello? But what are you going to do the rest of the time with Christ living in you? Because he doesn't come to visit just on the good days. He's living in you. So what do you do the rest of the time? Well, it's all right, Jesus. You just take a rest. I can handle this. I'll let you know when you're wanted. When I need you, I'll just send a prayer. Isn't that just as ridiculous? I mean, fancy having Christ in us and not depending on him. Fancy having Christ in us and we keep getting in his way. Instead of expressing his life, his love, his power, his joy, his truth. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You're just getting a quick overview here. Are you still with me? We all know about Paul's thorn in the flesh. Never mind what it was. It's what Jesus taught him that's important. Verse 8, chapter 12. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Yeah. Now this is extraordinary. How often have you heard Christians quote that his grace is sufficient for me? Many, many times. But how often have you heard them quote, his power is made perfect in my weakness. But you see, there are two parts of the same sentence. And you get into big trouble when you semi-quote the scriptures instead of quoting the whole of what is said. The whole revelation that Jesus brought to Paul at this time was, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Now, why was Paul such a good leader? Leaders process revelation very quickly. So Paul hears this and he goes, ah! Now I understand why God has not taken this thorn away. He's needed to teach me this great big lesson that my weakness doesn't matter. If I have Christ in me, my weakness doesn't matter. Now, I've heard many Christians say, Lord, make me stronger. I need to be stronger, Lord. And I believe his answer to that is, you do enough damage in your weakness, why should I make you stronger? You do even more damage. And you see, Paul, he gets this understanding. My weakness doesn't matter. I'm supposed to be weak. But what happens with many Christians? They go for counseling to try to make their weaknesses stronger. You know, the greatest thing you have going for you is that Christ is in you. The second greatest thing you have going for you is that you're weak and useless. Because that is what will encourage you to trust in the one who lives in you. So Paul processes this revelation and he says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power will rest upon me. If you want God's power, you don't have to go looking to Florida or on the internet or on Christian television or anywhere else. You've simply got to live in the revelation of the truth and realize that your weakness doesn't matter. Therefore, your trust is in the Christ who is in you, and his power will rest upon you. Now, when his power rests upon you, it doesn't visit, it comes to stay. Are you there? God wants you to be a person of faith. People of faith are not getting on planes all the time and going somewhere because they hear something's happening somewhere else. All you get there is a drink from someone else's well. But what God says to us here at Kingdom Faith is dig your well. Don't just go and get a cup of water somewhere, because a cup of water won't change this nation. Somebody's got to dig a well that is going to get right down to the water level, so that you can draw constantly out of that well, and that everybody else can come and draw constantly out of that well, and you can keep watering this nation with my life and my love and my power. Friends, we're digging a well here. We're not going somewhere else to get a cup of water. And it's not very exciting digging the well, but when you hit the water level, it's very exciting. And this revelation of Christ in us is part of this digging. Because Paul says, as his testimony, I will boast about my weakness. Now, there's a right way and a wrong way to boast about your weakness. There's unbelief, where people are saying, I'm no good, I'm useless, I'm terrible, God wouldn't do anything in my life, I'm just a complete failure, and oh, he does not hear my prayer. I mean, that is all sin. Yeah. That is the sin of unbelief. But boasting about your weakness is to say, well, I'm weak. See, I know how weak I am. I can share with you. In fact, I can't preach. I'm totally weak, totally useless. Nothing about me is holy or righteous of myself. Praise the Lord. Doesn't have to be, because he is my righteousness. He is my holiness. As I trust in him, I will walk in righteousness. I will walk in holiness. His life, his love, his power will come forth in my life, because he did not save me to improve me. He did not save me to change me. In fact, you know, I hear Christians say, oh Lord, change me, change me, change me. He says, I can't. That's why I crucified you with Christ. Because you're so bad, you're incapable of change. I had to replace you, not change you. I had to give Christ to be your life. What about this being changed from glory to glory? No, no, that's not what the scripture means. What it actually says is you're transfigured with ever-increasing glory. It's the same word that was used when Jesus was transfigured. What does Paul say? Well, the more you let the Christ in you be expressed through you, the more his life is manifested. Everybody thinks, oh, they're receiving more and more of Jesus. They think you're changing. But no, all that's happening is you're letting more of him come through. Letting more of him be expressed. But actually, you are still the same underneath it all. That's why, you know, you hear of people falling into sin, don't you? Sometimes mighty men of God who have been used by the Lord in wonderful, wonderful ways, and you think, how could that happen? Because underneath all that, they're still the same. They're still weak, they're still human. The amazing thing is that Jesus came to share our weakness. And yet he never sinned, tempted in every way just as we are, but he never sinned. But you, in and of yourself, are weak. You could still choose to sin. You could choose to walk away from the Lord. You could choose to do whatever you want today. Because actually you in yourself are weak. Mm-hmm. The flesh is weak. Jesus says, yes? Your self-life is your flesh life. It's weak. But it doesn't matter if your faith is in Christ, because he is your righteousness. He is your life. He is your love. He is your power. He is your holiness. And he lives in you. He doesn't just come to visit you. He lives in you. So Paul says, I will boast about my weakness. Why? Because I know it doesn't matter.
so that the power of God will rest upon me. Then he says this most extraordinary thing. That is why, for Christ's sake, for Christ's sake, for Christ's sake, this is how I live for him, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. Oh, hallelujah, I'm weak. It's wonderful. I delight in the fact I can't do anything apart from him. How wonderful. Because he lives in me, I don't have to do anything apart from him. I don't have to appear to be strong. I don't have to put on a performance for others. I don't have to try to create some persona that is acceptable to other people. Hallelujah! All that striving goes out of my life because I'm accepted in the Beloved and Christ lives in me and he is my life. So I will delight in weaknesses, in insults. Have you ever tried delighting in insults? I've had too many, many times. Some of them may have come from some of you, but in hardships, in persecutions. I delight in hardships. I delight in persecutions. Where's this guy coming from? The revelation of the truth. Why does God allow these hardships? Why does he allow the persecution? Why does he allow the insults? Shall I tell you why the Lord allows you? Actually, he deliberately allows you to be insulted sometimes. Just to see how you will react. Whether you really think you matter to yourself still or not. Whether you're going to get all upset or just praise the Lord and give him thanks. Because it's just another reminder that you are weak, but he is your life. He is your strength. And the insult doesn't matter. You just forgive whoever insulted you. And if you fail the test, then you'll get insulted again. And again. And again. And again. Until you pass the test. Hello? Are you facing difficulties? Well, just start to rejoice that you're facing the difficulties and that Christ is in you to overcome the difficulties. Because, you see, he is your victory. He is your victory. You will never get victory fighting yourself. You see, the fight is the good fight of faith. But then what is the faith? My faith is in the Son of God. That's what Paul says. That's the fight of faith. That my weakness doesn't matter. But his strength, his life, his power is in me. Are we getting this? And then he sums it all up by saying, for when I am weak, then I am strong. So you see, we can never say as Christians, I couldn't help it. Oh, you could if you trusted Christ in you. You could have resisted the temptation. Mm-hmm. Instead of backing away when there's something you need to do and say, oh, I can't, I couldn't possibly do that. If you'd put your faith in him, you would have done it. That's why God put it in front of you. Are you going to trust me or are you going to back away in fear and unbelief? Listen, God oversees every detail of your life. He knows exactly what is happening to you. Doesn't mean it's all his will, but he allows it. It's his permissive will. Why? Because he wants to teach you that he is the strength of your life, that he will never fail you, he will never forsake you. But if you don't trust him, you'll fall flat on your face again and again and again, and then you'll blame him for it. Oh, why does God allow all these things to happen to me if he loves me? Because he's teaching you to trust in him. Because if you don't trust in him, there won't be any salvation. Because your salvation is by faith. Hello? So this is good news. This is the gospel. I can't, but he can. So if I don't, he will. But if I do it, he won't. So you see, to me, he says, okay, Colin, it's either you or me. Who's it going to be? No, no compromises, no deals. It's either you or me. Make your choice. Well, I've learned a little bit of wisdom over the years, and that is that it's never worth trusting in myself. It's always better to trust in Christ in me. One last thing.
If Christ is in you, the healer is in you. You see, the problem for so many Christians when they pray for healing is they're praying to someone who is beyond them, and therefore they think their healing is out there somewhere. And they've got to go somehow find their healing or get their healing. But listen, if Christ is in you, the Savior is in you. But what does the Scripture say? He is both Savior and our salvation. Hello? He is righteous and our righteousness. He is holy and our holiness. So he is healer and our healing. He is provider and our provision. So if Christ is in you, not only is the healer in you, but your healing is in you. Now, you see, there are one or two things God cannot do. One of them is that he can't give to you what he's already given. Hello? If he's already given you something, he can't give it because he's given it. Are you breathing? When we ask him to give us what he's already given, we're guilty of unbelief. We don't believe it. He's already given it. Now, Jesus taught us to pray, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. What does he mean? That you go into some mental contortion trying to make yourself believe that you have what you don't think you do have. No, he doesn't mean that. He says, if you believe that you have me, you have life, you have the answer, whatever it is you're asking, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Believe that you have your healing, because the healer lives in you. And the healer wants to release that healing in your life and in your body. This is why, as I've been preaching this stuff, I've seen so many wonderful miracles of healing happening. Amen. In these last few weeks. God is doing great miracles all over the place. Your healing is in you. Why keep asking for what you have? No, faith releases what you have into your experience. Are you understanding what I say? You see, when I was ill 3 years ago, I never got before God and say, oh, God, heal me. I mean, to me, that would have been a crazy way to pray, crazy way to approach the situation. Because I knew the Lord had healed me on the cross. I knew that Christ was in me. I knew, therefore, the healer was in me. I knew the healing was in me. That's why I could be so confident when I heard the diagnosis, because I knew there could only be one possible outcome. Yes. Amen. 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 Why? Because my healing was already there within me. So if day by day I just received more and more of that healing, then the outcome would be inevitable. But if we fail to understand that the healer is in me, therefore the healing is in me, we're praying to someone out there, believing the healing is out there somewhere, and somehow that healing has got to come upon me. So we go looking for someone who has got an anointing or the power or something. Or where is someone who can heal me? Right inside you. That's where he is, right on the inside of you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's where he is. You don't have to look for him anywhere else. He's living in you. And if the healer is in you, where's your healing? It's right in you. Because all healing comes by the Spirit of God. But the Spirit of God is in you. So what happens when people go, I mean, lots of people get healed
at Faith Camp. Of course, when you gather thousands of people together, there's always a strong move of God. Of course, it doesn't matter where you do that. Of course there is. There will be a camp. There is every year. It's going to be even more wonderful this year than it normally is. God's made that clear to us. Are you breathing still? But you see, you don't have to say, does the Lord want to heal me or doesn't he heal me? Is he going to heal me or isn't he going to heal me? If you've got the healer living in you, he's already on your case. What's he wanting? Just that faith that releases the healing power. It might be released in one great boom. It might be released day by day as you continue to wait on him, believe him, trust him. Doesn't matter how it happens. What does matter is that it does happen. I mean, come on. Christ doesn't live in you to leave you as you are now. Amen. Praise God. So we could get some people healed this morning. Have we got time for that? Well, four of us have got time, so the four of us will have our own meeting afterwards. Have you got the revelation? If you can't remember everything I've said, just remember this. I can't, but he can. If I don't, he will. In me and through me. But if I do, he won't. Say, so, right, you want to do it? You go ahead and do it. You want to ignore me? That's right. You want to trust in yourself? Go ahead. Go on. Fail. And the next time, you'll trust me. Hopefully. So praise God. You're going to have a wonderful week. Amen. All you've got to do is believe what the scriptures say. Believe these scriptures that I brought to you. If there was more time, I'd explain to you that this was the way Jesus himself lived. Do you remember he said, the Father and I are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You see, just as Jesus and I are one, yes? Jesus and you are one because he lives in you. Uh-huh. Isn't that what he prayed for? Father, may they be one. Yeah. Well, Jesus said, you see, just as the Father is in me and I'm in the Father. Yet he said, I can't do anything myself. This is Jesus speaking, see? Because the Father is in me. So I got to trust the Father. I don't speak any words of my own. I speak only the words my Father gives me to speak. We think they're the words of Jesus, but Jesus says, no, they're the words of the Father. It's the Father speaking through me. He said, I can do nothing of myself. I do only the things I see my Father doing. We talk about the miracles of Jesus, but Jesus says they're the miracles of the Father through the Son. You see, he lived by exactly the same principle. Why? Because he was having to live the God life on earth, just like we are. So in his, he shared our weakness, didn't he? So he was saying, in the weakness of my humanity, I can't do anything. But my Father lives in me. My Father gives me the words to speak. My Father does these works through me. I haven't come to do my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. So you see, it isn't something extraordinary that God is asking. He drew these disciples and he showed them, this is the way you live a life that is pleasing to God. Now, Jesus shared the weakness of our humanity. You know, Paul says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet he became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich. What he means by poverty there is he shared the weakness of our humanity. So he shared the weakness of our humanity, but he never sinned. Yet, even though in his humanity he was perfect, he still never trusted in his humanity, but in the Father who lived in him. So it's not just saying, well, you know, I'm not very good, therefore I better not trust myself. Even if you were perfect as a human being, you would still have to trust Christ in you. In fact, if you were perfect as a human being, you would trust him perfectly, just like Jesus did. So praise God. Let's all stand, shall we? Hallelujah. Are you happy? You ought to be after a message like this. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. Bless him. Praise him. That Christ is in you, the hope of glory.
Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Christ is in you.
We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.